Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Growing up, I learned something very important about how my parents communicated with me. The more they repeated themselves, the more important it was. Take, for example, a random topic like cleaning your room. Now, if they mentioned something in passing about making sure my room was clean, but the rest of the day went on and I didn't really hear anything else about it, I learned that this issue was pretty low priority on their list of issues, and I could probably get away without necessarily listening to what they had said. But if, however, my parents kept mentioning something about cleaning my room, like the laundry needed to be put away, and then they mentioned it again, and I don't know if you've been in this situation, but you know, that second time they mention it, they kind of repackage it. So first time it's like, hey, if you get a chance, will you put your laundry away? And then the second time it's like, I still see laundry in your room. And then you never want to get to the third time that they repeat. When they repeated something, I knew it was important to them. And because it was important to them, it was necessary as such for it to become important for me as well. As we read through the Sermon on the Mount this summer, we're going to discover the same principle to be true with the language of Jesus. While all of the words he has for us are important, you will find that Jesus often reiterates the most important aspects of his message. When Jesus repeats himself using different illustrations or just repeats himself for the sake of it, we know as the readers that this is important. And today's passage is an example of this. Here, as Jesus is truly beginning the Sermon on the Mount, he is starting with a vision of what he hopes his listeners or followers will walk away from the sermon understanding. This is his big thesis moment. And the thesis that he has for us and had for his followers on the mountainside is this. We, you and I, the followers on the side of the mountain, everyday, ordinary people, we are responsible for representing the kingdom of heaven. And in order to illustrate this thesis of his sermon, Jesus uses two analogies in our passage. He says, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And so in order for us to understand where Jesus is truly going in the Sermon on the Mount, it's important that we understand what he is saying to us, his followers, in the beginning of his sermon. And it will require us to look at these two analogies, salt and light. Let's dive in. Salt. Lately, Hope and I have experienced a problem at home. Nothing catastrophic. Although it feels, truthfully, a little bit of a weighty problem for us. When we are cooking, we love to use salt. Not in excess or a ridiculous amount, but we have truly found that the proper salting of a dish will lead to a much greater depth of flavors. And as the As the chef in our household, it's very important to me that I make good food. It is part of my love language. And so understanding how to use salt has been a big part of my cooking journey. And we are a kosher salt family. None of this ionized table salt for us. We are coarse kosher salt people, and we have what we call a salt pig on the kitchen countertop near the stove. It's a little vessel that you pinch the salt and throw it into your dishes. We love this salt, and we go through it relatively quickly. And the other month when I opened up our salt pig, I noticed that we were running low, and so I added kosher salt onto our grocery list. And home came home with a replacement box of the Meyer brand kosher salt. We've used this before and have enjoyed it. And when I opened it up to pour it back into our container, I immediately knew that something was wrong. The texture was off. It was dull. The granules were almost like spherical, not coarse at all. And the biggest tell for me was the almost chalky texture as I rubbed it between my fingers. Real kosher salt breaks down into flakes and has hard edges to it. This did not. And Hope noticed the same thing and remarked, maybe it will taste the same, and took some of this honestly like synthetic-like salt to her lips to taste. And immediately she remarked, it tastes like nothing. She was right. For the greater part of the week, we tried to continue to cook with the salt, not wanting to waste what we have bought, but found that it was not good for anything, but like Jesus said, to be trampled underfoot. And so we decided to get another thing of salt to try the next week at the grocery store. We went with a different brand this time, a name brand, and we were just as disappointed. This, unlike the Meyer salt, was super fine, not coarse at all like it described. And it, again, didn't taste like anything. It was useless. So finally, we spent a couple more cents more on a box of Morton kosher salt and got exactly what we were looking for. Real kosher salt. Strong in taste, coarse in texture, perfect for cooking. Guys, the right kind of salt matters. For Jesus, he is concerned when talking about salt, of the salt losing its taste. I know firsthand what he means. Now, I want to draw an interesting distinction here, both with salt and light, as Jesus is talking. He is not saying to his followers, you know, you really ought to be the salt of the earth, or you really ought to shine your light onto the world. He's not saying things like we need to go find how to be salty and be salty. He is starting with a declaration that you and I and the followers in the Judean countryside are already the salt of the earth. There is something as followers of Jesus that we are intrinsically salty. The problem isn't trying to go find our saltiness. The problem, Jesus says, is losing one's saltiness. What does it mean to lose your saltiness, though? Well, in other words, what Jesus is saying in this analogy of us being the salt of the earth is that we are responsible for being witnesses to Christ and his kingdom. Our saltiness is the character that we live our lives by. Our saltiness is how we interact with one another, how we interact with our neighbors, how we interact with our coworkers, how we interact with those on the opposite ends of the earth through social media and technology. What Jesus is warning against is he says that it's really easy to lose our saltiness, to lose the efficacy as a witness to Christ in his kingdom. Are you familiar with the story, the fable of the boy who cried wolf? Time and time again, the boy came into the village and cried wolf and scattered the people. And the first few times, even though there was no wolf to be found, the people scattered. But when there was truly a wolf, the people had made up their mind. This boy keeps crying wolf. I will not go for another fire drill today. And the wolf came and destroyed. The same is true with our efficacy of being witness to Christ and his kingdom. The number one way to lose our saltiness is to fail to live lives according to our calling, as Scripture says. To elaborate, yes, we are all sinners in need of grace, who live by grace through the cross of Jesus Christ. We have been saved from our sin. And yes, we are people that will continue to sin again and again. We are imperfect people who have been saved by a perfect God. However, a common misconception about Jesus is that Jesus does away with the law, right? Because of Jesus, we are free to sin. But Paul says in Romans, that is not the case at all. Yes, we are sinners saved by grace, but we are sinners who have been brought into a greater calling to live according to Christ and his way. We lose our saltiness when we fail to reflect the true character and nature of Jesus. If we are going to proclaim Christ and his kingdom to our neighbors, if we are going to share the good news of the gospel to Ogden Dunes and beyond, we have to be people that live out the gospel. And we've talked before that we live in a cultural moment in time in which the church has an interesting relationship with our communities that we have been placed in. Many people are saying, yes, the gospel that you proclaim by word sounds great, but the church fails to live out the gospel that they proclaim. It seems as though every week or so, there is some big name pastor who is forced to step down from his church because of a moral failing. He has lost his saltiness. He keeps pushing people to live a certain type of life, but is not willing to submit himself or herself to the character of Christ in order to do so. Jesus is warning his followers, I am giving you the kingdom of heaven. This is yours, but you have to walk the walk if you are going to talk the talk. Don't lose your saltiness, church. And then Jesus says a very similar thing using the analogy of light. This morning we sang with the kids the classic children's hymn, This Little Light of Mine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Shine. Taken directly from this passage, Jesus is saying to his followers, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. And he has an important claim using different analogies of a city on a hill, a lamp in a household. He is saying, don't hide your light. As a church, we use the word evangelical to describe who we are. We believe in what Jesus has said. Don't hide our light. Don't hide the light of the gospel for just us who have been chosen. But we believe that Ogden Dunes needs to know the gospel. We believe that Porter and Chesterton and Valparaiso need to understand what it looks like to live in the kingdom of heaven as opposed to the kingdoms of this world. And so Jesus doesn't give his followers an option, right? You have to be salty. Don't lose your taste. But also don't hide in a corner either. You are responsible for carrying out my message in my kingdom. Friends, Jesus calls ordinary people to be his witnesses. He doesn't call primarily the rich or primarily the well-spoken or primarily the beautiful to proclaim his kingdom. He has chosen you. You don't really get an option. Because when God calls you, you can say nothing other than yes and amen. And so what do we do as ordinary people that have been claimed and chosen to represent Christ and his kingdom? Well, the good news is the rest of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is an equipping class in how to be salt and light to our world. It's a challenging equipping class. We are going to continue to grow. But please hear this. Jesus has chosen you. You are God's plan and his great reconciling mission of reconciling and redeeming all things to himself. It's an incredible task. But I want to make one last distinction. I think it's really easy to hear the words of Jesus and to believe a certain narrative that Christianity is under attack and it is our job to defend Christianity when we listen to this. Right? We are salt and light. We have to proclaim the gospel and we need to act the way of Jesus. Yes. But Jesus doesn't ask us to mount a crusade for Christianity. He doesn't ask us to mount a crusade for him. He doesn't ask us to mount a crusade and defend his kingdom. That is the job of God and God alone. The difference is he asks us to witness to his character and his kingdom. When people see you, when your family sees you, when your coworker sees you, when the people that you work with on that board see your words, hear your words, and see your actions, do they see Jesus in you? Do they get a glimpse of the beautiful new reality of the kingdom because of the way that you love others? God is reconciling all things to himself, not you. Instead, Jesus, in saying that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, is giving us a very defined mission to love others well, to take on the character of Christ, to fall in love with God, and let our words and our actions speak for themselves. Because when we are men and women who are committed to following Jesus as his disciples, his apprentices, friends, you're going to discover that you don't even need to try to be salt and light. Remember, Jesus doesn't say you ought to be salt. You ought to be light. He says you are. And so as his followers, continue to listen to the voice of God. Continue to dive deep in Scripture. Continue to gather together as Christ's community, his covenant community. Because as we do those things, we will continue to learn what it is to be his followers. As we become more like Christ ourselves, Ogden Dunes will continue to look more like the kingdom of heaven. This church will continue to look more like the training ground for being kingdom people. So the answer isn't do more, do more, do more. The invitation in Jesus' words for us this morning is be with Jesus and let him transform you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.